The Chris Byrne Show, powered by Dynamic Money, creating personal financial plans built for life.
Hello and happy Easter Sunday. Welcome to the Chris Byrne Show. So good to have you here with us live. We'll be taking your questions all day, specifically about, for the next hour, how does everything you've been experiencing, everything you're seeing in the headlines, which is constantly changing every day, and then how that's filtering into you, how is all of that impacting your ability to look forward and feel confident in retirement? How is that impacting your planning right now? Do you have specific questions about how the stimulus packages we've received or the reality of the market being so volatile? I want this to be super practical because so much of what we're hearing right now, so much of what we're seeing right now is theoretical, is trying to figure out, well, what is this going to mean for the economy? And that's great, but it's all guesswork. We don't really know. None of us have ever lived through anything like this before. And so we have to fall back on, okay, on a practical level, what can I control? What can I do right now to be in a better place? And I know a lot of you right now are feeling anxiety about your future because you had a plan in place, you had a plan for retirement, and then all of a sudden this comes along and you wonder, is all of that changing? I had a client call literally just in the last 2 weeks and say, hey, I had planned on retiring in the next year and now I think all that's going to change. And they didn't have data for that. They didn't have any actual numbers. They hadn't run illustrations or anything. It was just a gut feeling that, oh my word, the market is dropping. I'm close to retirement. That means I'm not going to be okay. And by the way, if you're feeling that just gut-level anxiety, I couldn't help but reflect on this morning. It's Easter Sunday, and the Wall Street Journal's headline this morning was, hey, this is the strangest Easter as coronavirus is clamping down on services around the world. And I had to just pause and go, well, not quite, right? Not quite the strangest Easter. The strangest Easter was probably the first Easter when the disciples were expecting one thing to happen and something dramatically different happened. And what did they do? They scattered and they hid. In essence, they sheltered in place. They did spend time together. They didn't have to worry about being apart. But they were hiding and they were scary and they were scared. They didn't know what to do. And it makes me realize that in the midst of all this going on, this is perhaps the best holiday to be walking through in the midst of this because it reminds us that the whole purpose of this holiday was that light shines into the darkness. And the darkness isn't just the sin that we go out and do. The darkness isn't just the terrible things. The darkness is anxiety. It's insecurity. It's not being able to sleep because you're worried about your future. That's the darkness, right? And that what we believe, if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, or if you come from a tradition where you have respect for Easter in this story, is the idea that the God of the universe stepped into that darkness to provide light. And how did he do it? You'll notice that throughout his life, when people came to him with fear and anxiety and problems in their life, significant problems that the rest of society might have said, you have not been responsible, you haven't done enough, you haven't acted correctly, you haven't been good enough. How did Jesus consistently respond? He responded with grace. And so if this morning you feel like you're in this place where it's, I just feel out of control, I don't know what to do, I feel anxiety and worry about my future, just please hear this, that the whole point of Easter Sunday is new life. And it's not to condemn you or shame you or make you feel bad for being fear, but throughout scriptures, there's a reason that throughout we see, do not fear. That there's so much anxiety, and anxiety is a part of darkness, but the whole purpose of Easter is that light shines on that. And so I hope in the next hour, even as we get super practical about what does it look like for you to make it in the next number of months and years and to have a successful retirement and to reach the future that you want, that all that is about how can we, in a very practical way, just take what we have, which might be just some information or some strategic thinking, and pass that on and give you hope and peace and help spread that piece of light. Because there's a lot of darkness around us right now, just from the unknown. So if you're feeling that, you are not alone right now. I know many people are. And again, the number, if you want to reach us to join the show, is 404 1-800-972-0750. That's 1-800-972-8255. You can call in live. And again, I'd love to just talk about how is this practically impacting your plans for the future, your retirement? Or if you're not sure, what fears do you have about that? Let's just look that in the face and address it. And this can be super practical. Ask any questions you want about this. But I want to dig into it because so many people I talk to, I can tell beneath the surface, the real question is, however they're processing it on surface level, which might be anger, it might be denial, it might be just worry and anxiety and concern. However they're addressing it, the reality is beneath the surface, the question is, am I going to be okay? And so if you need practical answers to that, I would love to jump in with you. We have Eric calling from Loganville. Eric, thanks so much for joining the Chris Burns Show. How can I help you?
Yes, my question is regarding like the CARES Act package and the question about people who are on like fixed incomes. And in my specific case, I get an SSI check every month, but in order to obtain the $1,200, am I going to automatically get that, or I'm going to have to file or register for something in order to get that?
Yeah, that's a great check. Okay, so a great question. So there's a little bit of complexity there, but you should be getting this check. Basically, the question is, for most people, if you don't file a tax return. So do you file a tax return right now?
I normally don't file a tax return because I believe my SSI recipients aren't normally required for that.
Yeah, if it's only income, then often you don't, yeah.
Yeah, but I think I've read that retirees who get regular Social Security and railroad retirement and people on disability who get the SSDI are going to get it automatically regardless, because I think that comes out of a different fund. And then, and I also would apply that question to people who might be getting VA benefits as well.
Exactly. So I'm just going to read this to you. I just pulled it up while you were talking because this is a fine point, but I think this is the key. Anybody who has a question on this about fine points of this, feel free to call in. And if we don't have the answer, I'll tell you that, or we'll look it up. So it says here that I just jumped on and Googled this. If you don't file a tax return because your income is low or your only income is SSI, you're still eligible for the stimulus payment. Okay. If you received SSDI in 2019, you don't have to do anything. The government will send you your check automatically. But if you only receive SSI and you didn't file a tax return for the last 2 years, you have to take a few steps. And it basically says that the IRS has partnered with two free websites for non-filers to enter your personal information into a simple return, and that'll allow you to get the stimulus payment. Okay. And so let me see where this is. I literally just Googled exactly what you said, and this popped up. It was through Nolo, the website Nolo, and it gives you links to those pages. And so I think you sent me a question. All right, so if you send your information, which we may already have, I'll go ahead and send you the link to this. But again, if you just Google that, the link will pop up. TurboTax even has it as well as a stimulus registration page. So you should be able to get this check. Uh-huh. Unfortunately, you got to jump through one more hoop, but it shouldn't be a big one.
Thank you so much for that. And hopefully asking that question was a courtesy for others in a similar situation to mine. And hopefully that information is beneficial to them as well.
Yeah, no problem at all. I think it's a great question. And again, you can just if you just literally Google, hey, this is what I'm receiving. Am I eligible for the stimulus? You'll see this pop up. Let me look at TurboTax really fast. Yeah, it says get your 2020 stimulus check. So if you literally just file TurboTax, just Google TurboTax 2020 stimulus check calculator, it'll help you walk through that.
All right. Thank you so much, and happy Easter to everyone.
Hey, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. And that, by the way, is the exact kind of call that we're looking for here. We're not looking for sitting and theorizing, for instance, just about, hey, you know what? Should the government keep us all at home for a longer period of time? What's the right day to get us back to work? Those are all valid questions. And I've spent a lot of time thinking about that and reading about that. And I have debates with a lot of people about that. And this idea of is the virus going to hurt us more than the economy is going to hurt us, et cetera, et cetera. That's all well and good. But I want the next few minutes to truly be about your situation right now, because we can't solve that. We can theorize about it. We can discuss it. We can't solve it. What we can do is sit and say, hey, based on my situation right now, I'm experiencing this. I'm worried about this. I'm concerned. What can I do? And so I love that kind of a question. Again, the number, if you have a question about your specific situation, it's 404-872-0750. Just jump on the Chris Burns Show. No question off limits here. We want to help you be practical as you think about how do you make progress in your financial world. I had another question emailed to me from one of my clients who I've had for years, and she's a younger client. And her question was, hey, look, I am at the top of the list now where I can actually rent my apartment out because of the way her apartment is structured. Only a certain number of people can rent their apartments, like an Airbnb type situation, because of the loan they have. And so she's on the top of that list, but now she's going, well, I don't know where real estate's going to be in the next few months. So I'm not sure. I was going to buy another unit in the same place and then rent this one out, but I'm just not sure what to do yet. And so we're going to have a conversation tomorrow about that. And here's the answer. I don't know where real estate's going to be either, but I have some thoughts on that. So those kinds of practical questions are so important right now as we try to figure out, well, what do I do in my next step? We have Jim in Loganville has reached out. Jim, thanks so much. How can I help you, sir?
Yes, sir. I listen to your show about every week, but my wife and I file a joint tax return. My military disability, I'm retired military, but they've gotten it to where it's all disability now, so I don't have to pay no taxes on it. But I also receive full Social Security disability and have Medicare. So my TRICARE Medicare always takes care of all my medical needs. But we file a joint tax return. Now, my wife works for the U.S. Postal Service, and she's continuing to work because she drives a tractor trailer. But she works is at the top of our returns when we jointly file. So the money, when the return comes, it goes into her bank account. But okay. My Social Security disability goes into my bank account. And do I have to do any type of paperwork since we've already filed and she's already gotten returns for this year already? We always file when they come in because we always the way she files is married but withhold at higher single rate, zero dependent. So that way right. We don't have to pay taxes. We always get a return back.
Okay, I believe just by a quick look at this and what I've read that you should be fine, but I want to dig a little deeper into it before giving you 100% because you have a number of variables in your situation. And so this is another one where I'd love to follow up with you. But from what I've seen, as long as in your case, you are filing tax returns, I'm assuming your adjusted gross income between you and your wife is still under that threshold for the $1,200 checks. Is that correct?
Well, I guess because my wife was wondering if the U.S. Postal Service members were getting it, especially with her never slowing down from work. In fact, she's had to do overtime because a lot of people are out. In fact, unfortunately, some family members of postal workers have already passed on. I believe a truck driver has, too, from the coronavirus. And my wife drives truck trailer. She worries about me because I've got COPD, so I stay at the house most of the time. I was wounded several times during combat, over 7.5 years that I have in combat zones. And so when I retired disability from the Army, they also put me in front of Social Security, and I was awarded full Social Security disability along with Medicare. Because at this time, I just turned 63, but I've been getting the Social Security and disability. Social Security check goes into my bank account, but when we file jointly, it always goes into her bank account. She was wondering, as a postal worker, does she get it, as well as my Social Security goes into my bank account, will I be getting it because of Social Security disability, which I do pay taxes on the Social Security, but I don't pay any taxes on military.
Right. So this is similar to the last question. Social Security recipients receive this, even if you receive Social Security and you're a veteran receiving benefits, it might just take jumping through that extra hoop if you haven't filed tax returns. But everything you're saying to me, you would still qualify as long as your adjusted gross income for last year was under the threshold, which it is. I don't see why you would not qualify for this, but this again is one where I'd want to just dig a little bit deeper and see some of the specifics of your situation. But nothing you've said would tell me right now, no, you don't qualify, or you'll have to do any extra step, because you actually have filed tax returns. And so in this case, it's a pretty broad-based program, and I think you should be fine in terms of receiving that. But thank you so much for calling in. All right, we have more folks on the line waiting. We will get to you as soon as we possibly can. You're listening to The Chris Byrne Show on WSB.
The Chris Byrne Show, money made personal. Want more of Chris? Give him a follow on Twitter at CW Burns.
Hey, welcome back to the Chris Byrne Show. The number is 404-872-0750. We're answering your practical questions about stimulus. Only have about 1 minute, Gigi, but I question. Let me bring you on. Thank you for calling. You're asking, are stimulus checks available for college students if they're still dependents? Is that correct?
Right. Correct.
Okay, here's the issue. The government kind of made this very strange for us. So basically, if you are an adult to qualify, you can't be claimed as a dependent. But for children, they're treating it as the child tax credit, where you have to be 17 or under. So that left out a ton of college students that don't fit either of those. So right now, there are lawmakers that are working on a remedy. But as of now, that college student that's still claimed as a dependent does not get any sort of stimulus, which again is just a major oversight, and there it looks like they're working on it, but there's no movement yet in terms of an actual fix here.
Thank you so much. That answered everything.
Which I'm so sorry, because it's not the answer anybody wants to hear, but so it is at this point. The government's, it's almost like I heard one lawmaker said, hey, it's like we're trying to put the plane together as we fly it. So we'll figure it out as we go here. But thank you so much for calling in. We have more folks on the line, more folks calling. We have to go to a quick break, but we're going to come back and answer all your questions about what this means for you practically as you look to retire.
Hey, okay, so I get 1099 each year, and I'm just curious where I fall with a stimulus check. I do file taxes, and so I'm just curious, will I get the stimulus check? And if I do, will I also qualify for unemployment and or the small business loan?
That is a great question. Let me ask you a few things along that. But do you have any employees under you, or are you just a 1099 contractor on your
own? I have two employees, two people that work with me that I give them 1099.
Okay,
are you
married?
So they would be in the same situation.
And are you married, Leslie?
No.
Or how do you file your taxes? When you file it as a
head of household.
Head of household. Okay. So being a 1099 business owner doesn't impact your ability to get the stimulus. Basically, the government's just going to look, as long as you're filing a tax return, they're going to look at your 2019 taxes, or if you didn't file that, your 2018 taxes. And as long as your adjusted gross income, if you're filing single, is at $75,000 or less, you're still going to receive that stimulus check for yourself. If it's over that, then you're not going to receive it just because you make too much money, according to the government, to get the stimulus check. But beyond that personal check that you receive, and if you have any dependents, if you have any children under 17, you would also receive the $500 for them. But you also have a lot of other options. So I don't know if you've applied yet, that the PPP, as you're calling it, but it's a Paycheck Protection Act. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. What'd you say?
I have not filed for this year yet, but did file for 2018.
Oh, for taxes. So 2018 is fine for that. The other options you have, you brought them up in the call. So because you're a business owner as a 1099 contractor, in essence, you can file an application as well, along with the stimulus check that you're getting as an individual, for the Paycheck Protection Program. That actually just opened up for 1099 folks here in the last few days. And that could give you significantly more money, depending on your business operating expenses for your business. And And then you also can check out a disaster relief loan, which is also through the SBA. It's called the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, or the EIDL. There's a lot of details with that, but basically the easiest piece there is they're offering advances of up to $10,000 if you can show that you're economically impacted by the virus. And so what I would say to you is, first of all, you, as long as your income fits, you should be getting that personal stimulus check, but then definitely look as a business owner, a 1099 contractor, at both the payroll protection loans, because that fits for you, and also this economic injury disaster loan, the EIDL loans. Okay, both of those you might be a fit for, and that's just more money to help you stay afloat in the midst of everything going on. And I would encourage your employees, those 1099 folks, to look at those as well.
And if they're 1099, would they go for those things themselves, or would the government see it as I'm still paying my employees, whereas at the end of the day, you know, I wouldn't be required to pay the money back from the loan?
Right. So if they're 1099, they are not considered your employees. They are considered independent contractors. So that falls under small business owners. So same exact deal I just told you. If they qualify personally from filing their taxes, they should be getting the stimulus checks individually, and they can actually also apply as small business owners. So I would definitely just go to sba.gov, and they have answers to a lot of these questions from the small business side. And thank you so much. That's a great question.
Oh, thank you, Chris, so much for taking my call. Have a great day. Happy Easter.
Hey, happy Easter. Thanks so much. All right, we're going to go to Deborah. Deborah is in McDonough. Thanks for joining the Chris Burns Show.
Thank you for taking my call, and happy Easter. My grandson has been working at the same job for 2 years. For 2 years, he has had a complicated situation with the IRS where they owe him money, and he got his state taxes back. Because it was his first job, they want him to drive over 100 miles to a location center where he can show his ID, because he's never had credit and he had never had a job before this job.
Okay.
And I don't know if he's going to be eligible for stimulus, because he said, you know, he's young, and he said that it wasn't worth it to take a whole day off work when they owe him money. He doesn't owe them money. And so I can't get him to go into the office. And then when he does make the appointment, they said he's going to have his AIG. Well, he filed through TurboTax both years and failed to print out, because he didn't read between the fine lines, that if you don't print it out, you do not have your AIG, and it's only offered to you for 30 days. So then you have to wait until the IRS will send you an AIG. So now all this has came up, and he has been laid off. So is he going to be able to get the stimulus? Because they owe him money, but yet there's never, other than the state, been money given to him.
Yeah, and this is a great example of how you have a massive government program go into effect, and then you try to trickle that down, and there's so many variables in everybody's situation. This is a unique one. My guess, and take this as a guess, is because he has filed tax returns the last 2 years and actually done that, that there will be an automatic check sent to him, or he'll receive it the way however he would normally, and you're saying he hasn't gotten a refund, but if he e-filed in theory with his bank information, he should get a stimulus check.
He didn't do that. His theory of ADHD and OCD and other, he did not give them his banking information because he's scared to do that. And so he wanted it mailed to the home address. The state was mailed to the home address. So that was another thing that we went back when all this happened and tried to refile paper, but without the AIG, we could not do that.
And that makes total sense. So here is the unfortunate answer I'm going to give you, because I hate telling anybody this. But because of the complexity, my guess is he will still just get a check generated whenever that happens. They've been slow on that because he's filed his returns. But the only way he can really clear this up is to call the IRS, which I know you've done before, which right now is a nightmare because they're getting all sorts of phone calls about this. And I understand that. But his situation is unique enough.
Open. They're telling him he's got to come into an office that says the office isn't open.
So in other words, the situation's changed, and so I would say probably calling is the only way he can get any guarantees or any real clarity, because no one's going to be able to tell you with that level of detail. But my guess would be, because he's filed returns and because he's not delinquent on any payments he owes, that he'll probably receive that. But if they have a question about his identity and that's why they wanted him to come in, it may be worth that phone call. But I hate to tell you this, you're going to have to set aside a decent amount of time there. So. But thank you so much for the call, Deborah.
Thank you so much for your help. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Bye. All right, we're going to go to Andrew in Douglasville. And again, we're on the phones. If you want to reach the Chris Burns Show, it's 404-872-0750. We're answering your practical questions about retirement and what does this look like for you? How are the stimulus checks going out? Andrew, you're joining the Chris Burns Show. How can I help you?
Andrew, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
So, quick question. I've always been told that for 401ks, you should play the long game and not worry about it unless you're really close to retirement. And I'm about probably 8 to 10 years away. So, does that mean I should just leave it alone and not make any changes?
Yeah, in general, that's good advice. Here's where we get into specifics with this. So how aggressive are you in your 401k, Andrew, just by nature? Do you have mostly equities, or are you balanced? What's kind of your bent there? I'm sorry, Andrew, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
I said, how aggressive are you in your 401k? So are you mainly in equities, or are you more of a balanced, conservative approach? What does that look like?
It's more balanced right now.
Okay. If it's balanced, I would stick with it as is. And then the main thing to do right now, because you still have 10 years, in your case, you actually, this could be one of the best things. It sounds crazy, but it could be one of the best times ever to invest. And so because you have 10 years for this to change around, and we can look back at 2008 and go, wow, I mean, in the 10 years following the recession, we had almost 500% growth in the market. So if you're already in a balanced plan, the key is this: rebalance. Make sure you keep your risk at the same level. Then you're going to that's going to automatically take bonds and safe stuff that's not dropping right now and use that to buy more of what is dropping. So you're taking advantage of the steep discount in stocks right now, and that will give you a much better picture in 10 years. And that's specifically because you have at least 8 to 10 years left. If you were within 2 or 3 years of retirement, it might be a different discussion, but being that much time, that gives you that time to recover. So Andrew, thank you for your question. I appreciate you calling in. Hey, we have time for... Well, you know, we have a lot of folks in the line. I want to leave a little time at the end of the show to be able to answer questions. So let's take a break. We get back. We have a number of folks in the phone lines. I see you. We're going to get to your questions here in just a moment. But you're listening to The Chris Burns Show, and we're talking specifically about what does it look like on a practical level for you to take advantage of the stimulus being offered right now and make sure you're in a good place for retirement. The number is 404-872-0750. We'll be right back.
The Chris Burns Show. Money made personal. Can't get enough of Chris? Follow him on Twitter at CWBurns for more.
Hey, welcome back to the Chris Burns Show. Thank you so much to all of you who are calling in with your practical questions. I want to jump right into the phones again because we have a number of folks, and I appreciate your patience and holding. We're going to go to Mark. Mark, thanks so much for calling the Chris Burns Show.
Yeah, great show, Chris. I'm just a little bit overwhelmed because I put in for the SBA $10,000 guarantee loan, and then there's a paycheck protection. And I'm the only W-2. I'm the owner of the company, and I have subcontractors, 1099s, and even my employees are 1099s. So am I qualified to fill out that form for additional to cover my overhead?
Well, this is where it gets tricky. So when it comes to paying, if they're 1099 workers and they're legally considered independent contractors, then specifically for the PPP loan, the Paycheck Protection Loan, you can't count them as W-2 employees, where you sit and say, that's how much I need to cover my overhead, which is the downside of the 1099. On the other hand, when it comes to the $10,000 EIDL loan, that should be something you would have no problem applying for, because you're eligible for that as well. So, but it will reduce, again, in my understanding, and I hate to say in my understanding because it keeps changing and there's been a lot of updates to the specifics of this over time, but in my understanding, those 1099 folks can't play into that calculation, unfortunately. But thank you so much for calling, Mark. And
Chris,
I'm sorry,
Chris, please, can you clarify one thing? So I can put in on the second disaster loan, okay?
As
the,
sure.
The $10,000, which I've already put in with the SBA, but can I put in for the disaster loan to cover my overhead?
So that's a little bit. So the Paycheck Protection, the PPP, is the one specifically designed around overhead, and you can still put in for that. It's just limited because they're going to basically say those 1099 independent contractors don't fit under your normal payroll because you're not paying payroll taxes for them. But under the EIDL, if you're getting the $10,000, there is more you can apply for. But what's come out in the last few days is right now they're saying that's capped at, I think, and this is off the top of my head, about $17,500. So there's not a lot more help you can get out of that, though. Again, that keeps changing because Congress keeps updating this. So as of now, that's the guidance we have. Mark, thank you so much. I got to move to someone else, but I appreciate your call. We're going to go to John. John is in Atlanta. Thanks so much for calling the Chris Burns Show. How can I help you? John, can you hear me? All right, we're not hearing. Oh, John? Okay, we're not getting John, so we're going to move to Julia in Decatur. Julia, thanks so much for calling. How can I help you?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. How are you?
Happy Easter. It's a strange
happy
Easter
to you, and thank you for working on Easter. I really appreciate it.
Sure,
so I have a rental property that's on the beach in Alabama, and the governor closed all the beaches, and subsequently the rentals for April and May and potentially June have all been canceled. And I'm just wondering if through any of these stimuluses package, you know, people who have generate income from rental property will be benefited in any way.
Well, part of that question to get into the fine print here is what kind of, do you have a mortgage on that property? Is it paid off? And if you do have a mortgage, do you know what type of mortgage? Is it a federally backed mortgage in some way?
I do have a mortgage. I mean, it's just it's a conventional loan, I think. I don't know. I'd have to look that up. So that'll make the difference.
Well, the difference is call your lender. Here's why. So anyone right now that has a government-backed mortgage in some sense, which is a lot of the mortgages in the U.S., but it's hard to tell because a lender often will offer both federally-backed mortgages and private mortgages. But they can tell you because the government right now is saying, hey, if it's a federally-backed mortgage, you have the right to apply for forbearance on that, which would give you a period of time depending on your situation. You have to work that out with your lender. But the key is, you have to talk with the actual loan provider. You can't call the government directly on this one. So give them a call, and they can give you clarity about, is there any help there that could help you through this time?
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate your call. And that's part of the difficulty right now, honestly, for so many people. Part of the challenge is that, and you've heard that through all these phone calls, that there are so many nuances to these government programs. And let me just speak to that for 1 second. The reality is the government has passed trillions of dollars in stimulus. Try to get your mind around that for a second. Trillions of dollars. And then said, here are the guidelines, the basic outlines of how this is going to work. I've talked with bankers. I have friends that run community banks, for instance, and I've talked with them, and they literally are getting guidance sometimes in the middle of the night. They're getting updates on how applications are supposed to be processed and what are the guidelines and what is the paperwork they have to get from people and how do they approve that. I was talking with one person who said they received one of these paycheck protection loans and then actually had to give it back and then received it again and then had to give it back again because the requirements kept changing on it. And so there is a lot of confusion around this. And my greatest encouragement to you is A, try to keep up with it as best you can, depending on your situation. And then B, if you want to use us as a resource, you can go to dynamicmoney.com and ask any question. And we will research that and give you the best answer possible that we can. As you've heard on the show today, it's not always an answer you like. It's not always that, hey, yes, your college student is going to be able to receive stimulus, because as of now, that's not the case. But we will try to help you get an answer. And again, just go into dynamicmoney.com. You can just ask a question, and we want to just be a resource for you in the midst of all this. And one other thing to remember is you can also get our daily update every day. We're doing our best right now to provide really pertinent information in that update. I write it every day just so you can keep up with what is practically mattering to you and your situation. Hey, thanks so much for listening today. Thank you to the folks I couldn't get to on the phones. And please remember this, your life, your future are so much more than money. Have a great week.